Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Richard. As we sit down here, just come back from a pastor's conference.
I was in Orlando, but don't think that I was sunning myself by the pool. It was a bit chilly, sunny, but I had the great opportunity to geek out with some fellow pastors in the EPC, and it was just a joy to be with them.
Well, we're glad that you were able to do that, and we're glad you're here right now to come back and dive right back in answering some hard questions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So let me throw this at you. This question says, why does God allow some people to do evil in his name while others experience consequences? This is hard for me to understand. It makes sense that there are consequences for evil, especially for those who claim to represent Jesus. Yet some go for a lifetime harming others without claiming, or while claiming to love and follow Christ without seeming to suffer even in their conscience.
This is a tough question, very good question, and it's full of mystery, because we're getting into the what we sometimes refer to in theology, the permissive will of God, what he permits under the banner of his will, and the decretive will of God, what he absolutely decrees and, you know, he says and it happens. And we sometimes live in the mix of that and we're confused, we don't understand. But God's word, that's where we want to go to try to understand these things. First of all, yeah, there are people who, in the name of Jesus, do horrible things and seem to suffer no pangs in their conscience, even though they've run roughshod over people. I'm not going to use any illustrations, but I think, we think of our nation today and the lack of civility and the tone that we are all taking with one another, and even Christians. And, you know, does our tone reflect our Savior who did not come to judge the world but to die for the world? Does our tone and our manner of life with others reflect our Savior who gave himself instead of taking for himself, you know, his rights? And so there's a lot going on today in the name of Christ that's really just a selfish or self-oriented agenda. And so what do we do with that? We could probably line up a lot of illustrations here. And I don't know what in particular this question has in mind, but the Bible does speak to some of these in some interesting ways. Paul's in prison, and he's writing to the Philippians, and he says in Philippians 1, verse 15, some preach Christ from envy and rivalry. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. But others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. I mean, these guys are preaching, somehow thinking Paul's going to get it, you know, by what, you know, yeah, right. What a bizarre, but it's selfish ambition. They're in it for themselves. And Paul's conclusion, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. I put that in the mystery category of, you know, why didn't he go after those guys? And you know, obviously they're preaching, well, he does here in this letter, but, why doesn't he really, you know, rake these guys over the coals and expose them? And why doesn't God expose them? Perhaps he did in ways, but here's this tension we live in that, okay, there are some people who are naming the name of Christ, but their lives are proclaiming another message, and it's the message of the kingdom of self. And what do we do with that? Well, I'm calling us to live in the tension of this. Here's another one in in Isaiah 44, and I don't know if I can turn there fast enough here, but God raises up somebody that he calls my servant and my shepherd. Can you think of a shepherd being a good thing that God does? But my servant and my shepherd is Cyrus, the Persian, who doesn't know God at all. Doesn't even know. In fact, he's not even alive at the point when the prophecy takes place. This is years to come. But God calls him my servant because he's going to subdue nations. He's going to do God's work among the nations. Now, Cyrus didn't come along and suddenly repent and say, you know, I'm a follower of Yahweh now, and I'm going to do his will. What we understand from that is God, there's a kind of a banner of the sovereignty of God over all of life. Daniel 4 talks about how God raises up kings whom he desires. And you know, there's a level of understanding of the sovereignty of God. Jeremiah 10:23, it is not in a man to ordain his own steps. God is sovereign over life, and he uses the Cyruses and the Nebuchadnezzars and a whole host of very evil men. But we understand he's accomplishing his purposes, and that's what we might call his decretive will. He's going to do what he's going to do. But within that, there's this permissive will of God. And so you have these, you know, bozos running around in Paul's day, you know, preaching Christ out of selfish ambition, hoping to harm Paul. The name of Christ is going out, but probably these men are, you know, getting a following for themselves. And it's like, what is that? Well, that's part of this mystery and this tension we live in. You know, where I want to come down is... And how do you live in this? I think the scariest verses in the Bible are in Matthew's gospel, the Sermon on the Mount. And it's Matthew 7, verse 21. And I honestly don't know any more frightening verses than these on the lips of Jesus, where he says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, when you use the double name, Lord, Lord, that implies intimacy. Mm. That implies relationship and a walking together with. You know, God always, you know, Abraham, Abraham, you know. And anytime God uses the double name, it means God's drawing near and to bless and to do good. Mm. And so this is the reciprocal end of that. You know, Lord, Lord, you know, I love you and you know, I'm your servant. But not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, and that's the scary word, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? Okay, these guys are preaching great sermons. They're prophetic. You know, they're speaking to the, you know, the culture, the times. They're casting out demons. They've got spiritual power, and they're using it. And you'd think for a good end, you know, to help people, cast demons out of people. And they're doing mighty works, and again, many mighty works in the name of Jesus. Then verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Mm-hmm. When we see people in our day who, in the name of Jesus, are perpetrating atrocities, wreaking havoc, just doing wrong, there will be a day of reckoning. It's not for us to judge that, perhaps. Now, maybe we can call out, hey, you know, where is Christ in this? Does this reflect truly a Savior who died on a cross, who gave himself and was merciful? Does this reflect? And I think there's a level of speaking into, but at the end of the day, God will be the judge of our lives. And, you know, what Jesus says here, only those who do the will of my Father who's in heaven. Well, what's the will of the Father? It's that we may know Jesus And it's all about relationship, and a relationship in which I am transformed and I become more like Jesus in the way and manner of my life, not just in the works of my life. And so, you know, this, you know, why does God allow a person to do evil in his name? At the end of the day, we don't have a really good answer for that, except to say it's part of the mystery of this life. God is sovereign, but he does allow evil things to go on, but they're on a tether. And it's not the end of the story. It's not going to be the final word that stands, whatever evil is perpetrated in the name of Christ. God will call it in someday, and he will judge and cast down the proud, and he will vindicate his humble servants. And so we live in that tension, and it's a mysterious thing, but we have to trust that that the Lord will not eventually allow wickedness to stand. Psalm 37 is a psalm of David, and of course he saw a lot of evil things going on in his day, you know, running from Saul. And you know, even that is a great illustration. You know, Saul always, you know, putting on the face as though he's a follower of God, and yet here he is, he's has a murderous heart, he's trying to kill David. And you know, it's a study in hypocrisy and a deceived heart. But David says in Psalm 37, "Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." Mm-hmm. And I think we need to, you know, what we want to see it next week. Or better yet, today. We want to see it. Come on, Lord, do this right now. Make the distinction between good and evil, those who really love you and those who are just, you know, hypocrites, charlatans, you know, whatever. But God doesn't work on our timetable. I think that's our frustration. That's the tension we live in. And therefore, there's a call to patience and faith. And so that's where this psalm goes. You know, they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Here's the encouragement to the humble saint. Trust the Lord, put your confidence in him. He is in control. Evil will not stand. And you now go about doing good. From a heart that trusts the Lord, you be sure that you are serving the Lord in a manner that is fitting to who Christ is. You know, part of that is, you know, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. And then it continues on in that theme. But I think that's our call, to trust the Lord, to do good, to wait patiently, be still, and not fret. I think we grieve, and there's a lot to grieve over what people do in the name of Christ that doesn't smack of Christ at all. And, you know, to the extent we can speak to that, we do. I think in the deep runnings of our hearts, the work we've got to do there is that work of patient, confident trust in the Lord, and to really anchor ourselves there. Pray for others. Pray for the purity of the gospel and witness to Christ. But then make sure that to the greatest extent that we are able, that we are that pure, true witness to the gospel in all our manner of living.
Well, it seems to me, too, that another message to us is, if we're dealing with that, is in that same passage earlier in that passage, Jesus is saying, if you're one of the ones who is suffering under this, blessed are you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Blessed are you when those who, when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Mm-hmm. And and it's hard when you're persecuted by, quote, Christians, followers of Jesus. And, and we do hurt one another. I mean, that's the deep hurt in all of this. We sin against one another, and you hope that in a community of faith that there's the reliance on grace and the repentance and seeking reconciliation. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. And so we hold in the deep recesses of our heart this patient trust in the Lord, that he will vindicate the righteous, and he will cast down the proud.
Will you pray for us?
I will. Lord, this is a good question, and it's one that we wrestle with daily. We see the crazy things that Christians do, and sometimes in the name of Jesus, or just loud claims that are made with Christ in view, and that just are off. And Lord, would you teach us the patience of trusting you in a world off kilter, Lord, that you are sovereign over all of this too, and you will establish your purposes eventually in the earth, and all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And Lord, thank you that in Jesus, you came to establish a kingdom, and you will not fail. We long for its full appearing, and until that day, Lord, enable us to be a humble people who love you and serve you willingly from humble, thankful hearts for all that you've done for us. In Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.